The second stage tanks now pressurizing, and we're coming up on the power transfer. 50 seconds and counting. We've now switched to internal power satisfactorily on the batteries of the first stage, all three stages of the second. 40 seconds and counting. The vehicle, all stages pressurized at this time. We're waiting for the swing arms to come back. One should be coming back at this time, a second one at 17 seconds. We're coming up on the 20-second mark. T-minus 20 seconds and counting. 17 seconds and counting. Guidance internal. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3, 2. All engines running.
Can anything good come from cleaning your basement? Have you ever thought of that? Can anything good come out of cleaning your basement? Well, I don't know about your basement, but there's only one good thing that can come from cleaning mine, and I'm going to tell you what that is in a moment. Hold your breath. My basement is unfinished. And I mean, that is the understatement of the year. You know, my basement isn't even started. Unfinished is not even started. My basement is in a state of primordial imperfection. In fact, if evolution were true, my basement is still a one-eyed fish. Melody and I decided to clean the basement over the weekend. One good thing can come from the basement. I'm talking about a book that I found while I was down there. We're snooting through some stuff, and I found this box of books, and I'm going through it. And the minute I saw the cover of this book, it took me back. It took me way back to second grade in Catholic school. The book is called Jesus Comes, Our Holy Faith. I was given this book in the second grade on the momentous occasion of my first communion. What's the first thing you do when you see an old book? Well, not me. I mean, I take the book, I smell it. Oh, man, it took me back. My nose is more accurate than carbon dating. I smelled this book and oh man, 1960, 67, second grade, Sister Mary Margaret Stephen. I got a shudder. I wanted to drop to my knees and say, 10 Our Fathers. Boy, did this book bring back the memories. But you are not going to, as I began to look through this book, you are not going to believe what's in this book. I couldn't believe it. I used to do this stuff. I used to pray these prayers. All right, you're thinking I'm going to start picking on the Catholic Church. Well, I am, but with a purpose. I'm not just going to pick on them for nothing. I'm going to show you, I'm going to contrast this falsehood with the truth. And don't you Protestants over there be getting smug. I know that the Protestants, I always wonder, what the heck is a Protestant? I finally studied it. I think I got out the dictionary. The root word there is protest, right? Apparently, Protestants protested the Catholic Church. So you're either a Catholic, according to common wisdom, you're either a Catholic or a Protestant. You're either for the Catholic Church or against it. But I think there's a third category. It's called freedom in Christ. Anyway, I'm looking through this book. I'm going, Melody, you've got to smell this thing. She's like, I'm not going to smell your rotten book. I just smell it. Smell this thing. Antiquity itself. I got so excited when I saw it. Second grade, First Holy Communion. This book is, quote, a religious series for the elementary schools. There are pictures throughout this book of children trying to please God or else. This is horrifying. I mean, this is child abuse. We talk about the priests today, the sexual abuse. You know, I almost think spiritual abuse is worse because you go the rest of your life afraid of God. Listen to this. I'm going to go to page 6. And the first thing I'm going to describe for you on page 6 is a picture of this girl in the picture. I got to tell you about these illustrations here. They're drawings. Every drawing is perfect because in the Catholic world, see, perfection itself is being the perfect person for God, being a person that pleases God. This young girl, she must be 7 or 8 years old. She's on her knees in her room. There's her window in the background, and there is a blue sky in the background. Of course, her drapes are beautiful white. They're scalloped. They're pulled to the side, as you imagine perfect drapes to be.
I love it.
There's a doll sitting on her window ledge. The doll's in a yellow dress. It has golden hair, as does she. Her dress, however, is green. very well pressed. It has a little white trim on it.
I love it.
Her hair is golden. Did I mention that? Golden blondish hair falling beautifully on her shoulder. She has a green hair piece that, guess what, matches her dress.
That's amazing.
Accidents happen, I guess. On the table at her bedside, there's a lamp, an antique lamp that has little frillies under it. And there's a statue of Mary, of course, under this lamp. And I'm telling you, they must have taken this statue from my school. This looks exactly like the statues we had hanging around in second grade.
That's amazing.
She's in the perfect position for prayer. Let me describe it, folks. You're on your knees. Your hands are folded together. Your elbows are about a 45-degree angle resting on the bed. There's to be a slight cup in your hands, apparently. But I got to explain the look on this girl's face. You got to see it to believe it. She's almost in an ecstasy. It's like she's looking at Mary, at Fatima. She's seeing a vision. Actually, folks, she's scared to death because I can see under the skin here. I remember what it's like to hope to impress God with the fear and trembling.
And,
I mean, this chick's in a trance. You know what I should do? Really, I should scan this and put it on the website.
I'm scared.
I think I'll do that. I'll scan this and put it on the website. You're not going to believe this. Anyway, she's praying the morning offering. I got to tell you about the morning offering. And the reason I got to tell you this is you got to see what the adults are making the kids do here. More importantly is the six laws. I'm going to get into the six laws of the Catholic Church here. For a purpose, I'm not just gratuitously. Now listen, they think I'm gratuitously hammering the Catholic Church. No, I'm going to bring a lot of things out of here on the subject of sin. And especially going to talk about Mel Gibson and his movie. People are asking me, what's your opinion of Mel Gibson? Holy cow, my time's up already. I got to talk about Mel Gibson. I got to talk about sin. I got to talk about the six laws. Hey, look, tune in tomorrow. You got to come in tomorrow. We're going to talk about this. We're going to get into this pink book, Antiquity Itself. In the meantime, believe in God no matter what the clergy say. Thanks for being here. I'm Martin Zender. Tell me I talk too fast. Am I talking too fast? Hello? Am I talking too fast? I'm sorry. I'm just so excited. I'm so, so excited about my Catholic book. I'm sorry. I'll try to slow down and relax here at Zender Studios, my cheapo studios here at my undisclosed location. If you hear sounds of traffic in the background or trains or passing pedestrians, it's because I cannot afford a high-tech studio. This is the ambiance of rural America, middle America, the amber waves of grain and all that. Hi, folks. I don't know if you know this, but Zender Studios is on top of the post office here, across from the library, a short 3-minute walk from, we're across from the bank. Yeah, across from the bank, a short 3-minute walk from the library. This is poetic justice, actually. I used to work for the Postal Service. Some of you may know that. 9 years crushed under the thumb of Big Blue. It's not Big Blue. Well, our deadly enemies was UPS, and they're brown. So I call the Postal Service the Big Blue. You cannot believe what they made me do there. I actually had to carry the mail. I had to carry the mail at the post office. I had to sell stamps. It's harder than it looks. I'm telling you, selling stamps, sorting. I had to sort the mail. They came in with all these crazy numbers on them. You had to figure out where the numbers went, and you had to put it in the same hole every time. It was absolutely ridiculous. No wonder people go postal. Anyway, the poetic justice is I'm now above the post office. Ha ha. They're under my thumb now. Where were we? Oh, yeah, this poor girl. This poor girl in the picture in the prayerful attitude, scared to death, and no doubt she has to obey the Catholic laws. I was going to read the morning offering, the prayer, being offered by this girl, but I decided to pass. All right, I'll read it. Listen to this. I might have said this before bed. I don't know. No, I couldn't have said this. This is ridiculous. Talk about an example of adults forcing their cultish ideas on the pliable minds of children. Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart, tell me that children are going to pray this prayer and know what the hell they're saying. Listen to this. Oh, Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer thee my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. Oh, believe me, you will suffer this day. If you're a Catholic, you will suffer this day. For all the intentions of thy Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all our associates, and in particular for, and in parentheses, they have the intention of the month. I remember that now, the intention of the month. Every month you had a special thing that you wanted to do, and you inserted it in the blank here. Give me a break. Kids don't pray this way. Deliverance. Thank God for deliverance. Listen to the laws of the Catholic Church now. I'm going to page, what page am I going to on this? Page 64. This is amazing, folks. Big time bondage. The laws of the Church. I must obey the laws of God's Church. I please God when I keep the laws of His Church. What laws of the Church must I keep? 1. I must assist at Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. 2. I must not eat meat on all Fridays and other days appointed by the Church. 3. I must put my money in the collection basket. Oh, God, I love that. I must put my money in the collection basket. I remember that one. I do remember that. They gave us these boxes, and inside the boxes there were 52 envelopes, one envelope for every month of every week of the year, and I'd put my 2 dimes in there and look at the envelope and throw it in the basket when the guy came around. That was a big deal. You had to do it. Speaking of money, I got to tell you this. I was down at the post office the other day. It was 2 days ago, and there's a nice young woman working down there, Myra, and she knows that I study God. She knows that I'm at my undisclosed location up here, and she says, "You're kind of crazy." I said, "Can you start that some other way?" She says, "No, I mean you know you're an independent thinker. You don't go to church. You can think for yourself. I need to know what the deal is on tithes." She said that my pastors told me in the past that we have to give tithes. If we don't give our money to the church, then God's disappointed to us, and we're showing our hatred of God, as the Catholics would say. You're displaying your hatred of God by not obeying His law. I said, oh, no. I'm out of time already. I can't tell you what I said. I can't tell them. All right. Look. You got to tune in tomorrow. I don't do this on purpose. I really don't. But when the music comes on, that's it for me. I got a certain amount of time here with you every day. Tune in tomorrow, will you? We're going to talk about tithes. I'm going to get back to this book. We're going to talk a little bit about the law of Moses. It's amazing what they want these poor kids to do. Oh, it's not much. Just shoulder the law of Moses. That's all you got to do. You're going to make it okay? You're doing all right? How you doing with those laws that not even the Apostle Paul could keep? How you doing with those laws that none of the fathers, church fathers, could ever keep? How you doing? You making an all right little 6-year-old? Ha ha! No wonder you're staring into space scared to death. Hey, believe in God no matter what the clergy say. I'm Martin Zender. See you tomorrow.
Like this before.
I am not a radical. I am not a radical. You heard it from me right here, right now. You know, the nice girl at the post office, she almost called me a radical. No, I saw the letters starting to form. You're a nice guy. You study scripture and think independently. No, Myra, I like you a lot. You thought I was a radical. At one time she did. She's coming to like me. No, seriously, she's coming to like me. She sees that I'm not crazy. I'm not a radical. In fact, I'm normal. You want to know what a radical is? I'm glad you asked. What's today? Wednesday, okay, it's radical day. This is what a radical is. A radical is somebody who watches Jesus Christ drag his cross to Calvary and still imagines that sin is standing in the way of God. A radical is somebody who thinks that God sent his Son to save humanity from their sins and it didn't quite work. That's a radical. A radical is somebody who believes that the human will is stronger than the divine will. The divine will. God wants all mankind to be saved and to come into a realization of the truth. But the human doesn't. And so the human wins. That's radical. I am not radical. Folks, I am normal. You know what a normal human being thinks? A normal human being sees the suffering of Christ, the incredible torture and agony of the one sent by God to take the sin of the world on himself, sees him forsaken by God, looks at that awesome, awful picture and says, that has worked, that has effectively accomplished the task it came to accomplish, which is the salvation of the world and the return of all things to God. That's normal. I'm normal. I think the cross worked. Boy, I'm getting on a roll here. I'm normal. You know the hard thing is to take all these falsehoods and try to undo it. That's what makes you look like a radical. Taking all the wrong teachings and trying to untangle them. The truth is simple. God is love. God is also just. But he took sin to the cross and crucified it with Christ. And now, because of his sacrifice, we're free. And he died for all humanity. His intention was to save all humanity. And God gets what he wants because he's God. And if God wants it, it's going to happen. And Jesus said, behold, it's finished. The work is finished. And so that accomplishes the work. It's finished. What's finished? My plan. What plan? To save the world. Oh, God is so good. And it's so simple. And you only look like a radical when you try to explain the stupidity. That, yeah, well, it's all of God. God saved me, but I still have to somehow save myself. How do you explain that? You can't. It's insane. It's stupid. It's double talking. God is love, yes. Well, but someone burning in hell for eternity, it's just a manifestation of his love. Yeah, right. You have to be crazy. You have to be it takes a radical to explain that, but the truth is simple, folks. How did I get on that? What was I going to talk about today? Does anybody have any idea? Oh, yeah, tithes. I said to Myra, are you an Israelite? He said, no. I said, it doesn't matter. Even if you were an Israelite, you still wouldn't have to tithe because tithing is part of the law of Moses. And tithing, if you look at it, involved supporting the Levites. The Levites were the one tribe out of the 12 that tended to the temple. They didn't have, quote, regular jobs. It was their job to keep the temple up, and so they had to have special support from all the other tribes, and so the tribes gave 10% of their income to the Levites. And it wasn't money, it was grain. They gave them food and things like that. And so not even an Israelite can tithe today because you got to have the temple, you got to have a legitimate Levitical priesthood, and you don't have any of that today. So not even Israelites can tithe today. So I said, Myra, you're not even an Israelite. So you really don't have to tithe. You're not required to give to God. She goes, well, then God's... I said, wait a minute. I'm not finished, Myra. Please. If you're going to tithe, you might as well be killing goats and lambs. You might as well be killing squabs, doves, turtle doves. You got to do the whole law of Moses. You can't just do one thing. If you fail in one thing, if you do one thing, you're required to do all the law. There's a scripture verse on that, right? Yeah, I'm going to get to that. That's in Galatians. So no. How do you give today? That's what she asked next. She goes, well, if that's the case, then how do God's people make it? What are we supposed to do? I said, thanks for asking. I have the answer for you. not because I'm a genius, but because Scripture tells me. And the administration has changed. We're no longer under law. We're under grace. Now we are to be... Now, I know you're going to think I did that on purpose, but I didn't. What's today? All right. Tomorrow, you got to come back. We're gonna tell you how it is today, and I'm going to get back to the Catholic book. You better believe it. We're going to sniff the antiquity out of this thing. We are going to talk about sin. I'm talking too fast again. I'm sorry. I got to break that habit. I'm excited. Somebody help me here. We're going to talk about Mel Gibson's movie. Everybody's asking me, what do you think about it? I got an opinion. You can bet I do. Believe in God no matter what the clergy say. I'm Martin Zender. See you tomorrow. Wouldn't smell my book. Can you believe it? My own wife would not smell my book. I took a whiff of that thing. I wanted to drop to my knees and say, Ten Our Father. She said, oh, I'm not going to smell your stinky book. That thing must be 50 years old. 40. I'm not going to smell that book. Oh, antiquity itself. Hi, folks. Martin Zender here. Do not call me a radical. Did I get into that? Oh, I talked about that yesterday. I'd rather be called a radish than a radical. I am serious. No, don't look at me like that. I'd rather be a radish than a radical. I like radishes. Do I got time to tell a radish story? Yeah, I know. You want to get into the law. I know. We got to get into the tithing thing. I promise. My goal is to teach you one thing every day. Yeah, I know I failed you miserably this week, but we did learn about the tithes. I visited this guy up in Canada, and he said, come and see my radishes. He was a Hollander. Come and see my radishes. That's German. I don't know, German, Hollander. I know, my kids make fun of me. Every imitation I do of people, it's either German or Japanese. Come and see my radishes. So I went to see his radishes. I said, where are they? You stupid fool, they grow under the ground. I didn't know that. Just a bunch of green stuff. Where's your radish? I'd like to see them. Show me the radishes. They're under the ground. I didn't know that. Radishes grow under the ground. I guess potatoes do too. That's amazing. Okay, you do not have to tithe. That's a great thing. You're free from tithing. God has done a new thing. You have to follow God. God is progressive. All right, he used to kill, you know, lambs and sheep to be right with God. You used to have to observe the feasts three times a year and do all this. You don't have to do that anymore. God has changed things. Now, I want to go to 2 Corinthians. We're actually getting into Scripture. How about that? So there. We're getting into the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5. Paul's entreating the people, saying that, let's go to verse 7. There's a bunch of stuff here. I want to go to verse 7. Paul said, let each give... in his heart according to he has proposed, not sorrowfully nor of compulsion, for the gleeful giver is loved by God. What deliverance! You don't have to give sorrowfully as we used to do in the Catholic Church. I was so sad, put my dimes. I worked hard for those dimes. Actually, I didn't. My parents just gave them to me. Here's your dimes. I didn't do anything for them. I put those in the envelope, I gave it to the collection, and it was sorrowful, and I had to do it, and God was watching me, and if I didn't put those dimes in there, I was in trouble. Not that way anymore. Did you hear that in 2 Corinthians 9, 7? Not of compulsion, nor sorrowfully, for the gleeful giver is loved by God. Here's the paradox. The law says you have to do this, and your heart just, okay, I got to do it. If I got to do it, I got to do it. So you do it, and you're not real generous. On the other hand, now we're living in an administration of grace, and it's not compulsion. It's a difference between having to and wanting to. Yes, now we want to give. Isn't that strange? When you're not under compulsion, you want to. And I'm telling you this, it's a fact. If there's one string that's attached to God's favor of you, in other words, He likes you only because you do this. If there's anything whatsoever, you're going to resent that thing, and you're not going to be gleeful. You only really want to love God when you realize that He truly does love you unconditionally. And there's not one religion on earth that preaches unconditional grace. Oh yeah, the Christian faith. No, it's not. There's one condition. You got to believe God. You got to believe what He did. You got to work up the faith, and you better hurry, because if you don't, you're going to die. That's a condition. Sorry. That's where I told you Protestants were going to get it. All right? The Catholic Church may have 25,000 conditions, but the Protestants have one, let's say. Oh, there's baptism, there's all this stuff. You got to have faith or else. You know, faith is a gift. And if you have it, you can thank God for it. It's a gift. It was given to you. Back to this money thing. Let me tell you something. Melody and I used to give 10%. This was back in the old days, but people ask me sometimes, well, what if you just use that as a rule of thumb? You know, you want to take some money off the top of your paycheck. Well, that's fine as long as you realize that you're not obeying the law of Moses. If it's a rule of thumb, go ahead and do it. Don't feel under compulsion, though. Don't feel like you have to. But anyway, back in those days, we were so without money that we would save and save, take this 10%. And if God didn't press it on our hearts to give it to somebody, we just let it accumulate. And I mean, one time we had a couple $1,000s. It was more money than we were worth. And we gave that away to somebody. It was a wonderful thing. We did it surreptitiously. We also did it on the sly, you see, so they wouldn't know it. That's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do that. But God has honored that. I mean, really, it does come back to you. Cast your bread upon the waters. Scripture says it'll come back to you. God has blessed us in return in so many ways, and we're very thankful for that. What's a worthy cause today? Well, my cause is kind of worthy. Good! How? Saved by the music. Saved by the music. What are we going to talk about? Got to go back to Unit 3. Unit 3, page 44. In Jesus Comes Our Holy Faith. You got to get into this. This is the Ten Commandments, especially the first commandment. Wow. What does this little girl in the green dress have to do to make sure she goes to heaven? Wait till you find out. It's tough, let me tell you. Tomorrow's the end of the week already. Well, we're going to lay it on you. I don't know if I get the Mel Gibson and his movie. Everybody wants to know what I think. All right, I'm going to tell you. In the meantime, believe in God no matter what the clergy say. I'm Martin Zender. Stay here at Zender headquarters. Glorious, glorious, glorious. No, it is not. I am kidding you. It's all a joke. It is not glorious. It is winter, late winter, early spring. Spring is too far off for me. I got a touch of the sad, S-A-D. Oh, I don't want to tell you about it. It is a tale of woe. It is a tale of woe. Seasonal affective disorder. I get all messed up when the sun go away and the warmth go away. Oh, woo-hoo-hoo. Me got MWF. Me got sad. Yeah, me got that. S-A-D. Me also got MWF. Me want Florida. Are we on? Oh, that's good. Martin Zender, again, climbing into the cockpit of mature scriptural revelation. Who wrote this? Climbing You think I write this? You think I write all this stuff? No. Climbing into the cockpit of mature scriptural revelation. High atop the post office in my Office Max faux leather plastic wheeled butt supporter. I wrote that, thanks. We're going to go back to the Catholic book, Unit 3, How We Should Obey God. Look, you ought to see the picture on this page. There's Moses, and God is above him. God, I don't know if you know this, has a long white beard, goes down about the top of his breastbone. He's got white, according to this picture, white eyebrows. Yeah, he's got this thing that looks behind him, looks like a sun, but actually it's a halo, and he loves Roman numerals. God loves Roman numerals. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six. That's French. The law was carved in Roman numerals, as you know. The book says on page 44, the Catholic book here, God gave the Ten Commandments to us through Moses. He gave them to Moses on Mount Sinai. They were written on tablets of stone, the same substance that bashed your skull in when you didn't obey him. And then they list the Ten Commandments here on page 45. I'm talking too fast again, sorry. We must all obey these 10 laws of God, says the book. When I obey these laws, I show God that I love him. Conversely, I guess you'd have to say that if I disobey these laws, I show God that I hate him. God made me for heaven. I want to be happy forever with God in heaven. These 10 laws of God will help me get to heaven. Wrong. The liars. That is so wrong. Did you know, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says that the letter is killing. The letter of this law kills. In verse 7 of that chapter, it's called a dispensation of death. In verse 9, a dispensation of condemnation. I go back to the little girl, and I see her. No wonder she has this look on her face. It appears to be a look of peace. But actually, it's a mesmerization. She's mesmerized at the task before her.
I'm scared.
For the task before her is this. Not only must she obey the Ten Commandments, but she must obey every other law of Moses. And there was about 630-something laws of Moses. Not just 10, but all kinds of laws. And she had to do them. And if she failed, she'd be condemned for all eternity. That's not how it is. Because Christ has freed us from the law of sin and death. The law came as a tutor to lead us to Christ. I'm going to leave you with a happy thought here at the end of this week. I'm going to leave you with a happy thought. Let's just go right to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For freedom, Christ frees us. Now, I'm going to give you a little inside information here. Whenever you see two words used together in the same sentence, it's very significant. Extra emphasis is being put on that. For freedom, Christ frees us. How many people believe that Christ frees us only so we can then get ourselves into more responsible forms of bondage? Christ freed me, therefore I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone and make sure I don't do anything wrong. Christ freed me, therefore I'm going to join this organization. I get out of that one, I'm going to join this one. No, listen to this. For freedom, Christ frees us. It's such a foreign concept to people that it had to be repeated twice. Christ frees you for freedom. You're not now supposed to graduate into a more holy form of bondage or into a lesser form of bondage. You're freed completely. You're freed from the law of Moses. You're freed from praying to statues. You're freed from having to obey. And here's the paradox. The more you realize that, the more you're going to love God from your heart. The more you realize that, hey, he really is. Not kidding when he says that there's no more condemnation. That's the paradox. You're going to love God even more. I'm going to head back to the Catholic book. I'm going to wrap a few things up here. Yeah, I know. I never got you to Mel. Sorry, Mel. We're going to talk about the Passion of the Christ on Monday. God knows what else we're going to do, but I'm going to try to give you something every day where you learn one thing about God and you see a more glorious God. That's my goal for you, a more glorious God. He's there. We're coming to a realization of it. Believe in God no matter what the clergy tell you. I'm Martin Zender.